With some scientists predicting koalas could be extinct within 3 decades, the federal government has finally decided to act to save Australia's national symbol in the states where the koala is at greatest risk. Environment Minister Tony Burke was on the program earlier this morning, and he said that koalas in Queensland, New South Wales and the ACT will be listed as vulnerable under national environment law, even while koala numbers in some other states are relatively high.
I can't go any harder than what the science says. And the challenge that we've got here in Victoria and South Australia, koalas have actually been in such high numbers they've been eating themselves out of habitat. There's what they call population control measures going on there. Now, that doesn't mean they're culling them. Population control measures have been things like sterilisation, because in some parts of Australia, the numbers are going beyond what their habitat. Normally, if a species is bountiful in one place, you often say, well, that means you can't say that they're endangered. But in places like New South Wales and Queensland, their numbers have been taking a massive hit. You know, if you go in, only since 1990, so over the last 20 or so years, in Queensland, the numbers have taken more than a 40% hit. In New South Wales, they've gone down by a third in what's a pretty short space of time.
So this move to only partially list the koala as vulnerable in the ACT, New South Wales and Queensland, has there ever been a partial listing on a species like this before?
It's been done a couple of times. It was done, for example, with the grey nurse shark, and it's sometimes done when the species, the different populations, aren't directly connected. It's pretty rare, and it's something you're very careful about. But on a species as iconic as the koala, I really don't think I could have credibly said to the Australian people, oh, don't worry, you might not have any more left in Queensland the way things are going. You can go to South Australia if you want to see one.
Federal Environment Minister Tony Burke speaking to us on the program earlier this morning. This decision to include the nation's most at-risk koala populations on the list of threatened species has been welcomed by the Australian Koala Foundation, which has been campaigning for the protection of the marsupial for decades. Deborah Tabat is the Executive Director and one of the koala's fiercest advocates. Deborah, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
This is the fourth time the federal government's chief advisory body on threatened species has considered the survival of the koala since 1996. This time you have a result. Is this victory?
Oh, look, I'd have to say it's a victory for Queensland and New South Wales, and I am relieved, Fran. I am, and I'm going to sort of say well done to the minister. You haven't heard me say that very often.
Certainly
in my
haven't.
Career. And I, on Sunrise this morning, I think I might have to have a little slice of humble pie. But I'm still not happy, Fran, and I think that the minister is ill-informed about the Victorian koala populations. But, you know, we will live to fight that another day. You know, and I've sort of had to reflect on all this over the last 24 hours, and I still haven't seen what this determination really means, and I will take advice from ANU's legal department, because I think the devil will be in the detail about how this listing goes with existing Queensland law, for instance. I think you did ask him that this morning. For instance, the koala's listed as common in Queensland, most of it.
Mm.
And so I suspect Premier Newman will have to upgrade that population to vulnerable to match the federal listing.
Mm-hmm.
And
these are issues that we'll talk about the regulation in a minute, but I'm just keen to stay with this because you have been calling, and you've called on this program before, for a national listing.
Yeah.
To protect the koala. And the minister was pretty clear there, as we heard. He said the science tells him that in some areas in Victoria and South Australia, koalas are eating themselves out of habitat, basically. Their numbers are so large they need to be managed. Why do you think he's got the wrong end of the stick there?
Because the Victorian government just perpetrates this myth, and it just is going on and on. If you read the US government determination 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it identifies that just because you have a few koalas, and Fran, it's still a few, it's not hundreds of thousands of koalas.
Well, not according to the minister. There's so many that they're eating themselves out of habitat.
Yes, well, he says that, and let me tell him, I'll meet you in Framlingham or Mount Eccles, Minister, anytime, anywhere, or even the Otways, because I don't believe this to be true. And if you look at our Facebook, you'll see the Victorians will go berserk over the next couple of days, because the populations on the mainland are actually declining exactly the same. There's a paper by Phillips in the year 2000 that identified the decline curves. So I will be fascinated to see the science, Fran, and you know how tough I've been on that TSSC over the years, and I will continue to be. We put up all the data. We've sent maps and habitats and to the minister and to the Victorian government, and you never get anything back. So let's have a look at the science and then you can invite me back.
Let's go now to the practical effect of this listing and the regulation that will flow from it. How will it impact on the activities of developers and mining companies in Queensland and New South Wales in particular? The minister told us earlier that the developers will have to get used to this. This is a law which will mean they'll have to pay attention to, you know, environmental impact statements.
Yes, well, I'm hoping that's the case. I've already had a few calls from Western New South Wales saying they think some of the big mines have already been approved and that this listing won't affect it. So I'm going to give the minister the benefit of the doubt until we see what it actually means and some of those big mining projects, which I did think would be excluded. So that's the humble pie bit I might have to eat. But I'm still very cynical and I'm worried and I feel like Jerry Maguire, because I feel like saying, where's the money, honey? Because there's no money for recovery. And I heard him say on your program that the national strategy will be in place till 2014. And I was on that committee, and that committee, that document is useless. So there is still a lot of detail.
The government has, though, with this announcement, it's also committed an extra $300,000 for research to find out more about koala habitat. So
that's two PhDs, Fran. That's two PhDs. And as I've said to you before, we have offered our maps to Minister Burke, $8 million worth, 26,000 man hours, 100,000 trees, 2,000 field sites. And so for me to see money thrown into mapping, $300,000, you know, I still want to see the science. I do not, we've never seen any science from the TSSC. We just usually get a letter that says we suddenly say yes or no. So,
well, the minister's quite specific here. He said, I have to go with the science, Fran. So clearly he's got some science there to look at.
Well, let's have a look at it, Fran, and let's, you know, if he can convince me there's 200,000 koalas, then I'll include it on our maps. But at the moment, we're still of the opinion there's not that number of koalas. Less than 100,000. Victoria still needs to be protected. And I'm delighted with this because it is going to slow things down, but it's not going to save our koalas.
Deborah Tabart, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Deborah Tabart is the Executive Director of the Australian Koala Foundation, and the Minister will announce this decision to list the koala as vulnerable on the threatened species list under National Environment Law in New South Wales, Queensland and the ACT later this morning. It's 8:13.